97.5 FM, W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Luigi Mangione is in custody in Altoona, Pennsylvania. He's suspected of being the gunman and who shot and killed UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson in New York City last week. Lieutenant Colonel George Bivens of the Pennsylvania State Police says he was busted inside a McDonald's.
Customer recognized, notified an employee, and wanted someone to check it out further.
Altoona officer Tyler Fry was one of the police who confronted Mangione and asked him to pull down his mask.
My partner and I recognized him immediately, just from what we saw in the media with photos, videos.
Late word, New York prosecutors have filed a murder charge against Mangione. A jury in New York City acquitted Marine veteran Daniel Penny in the chokehold killing of Subway performer Jordan Neely. Neely's family plans to sue Penny. About 87,000 people were being evacuated in the central Philippines after a brief but major eruption of the Mount Canlaon volcano. This is ABC News. TikTok is appealing a court ruling allowing a law banning the app if it doesn't sell to a U.S.-approved owner.
TikTok now wants the Supreme Court to decide its future in the United States. Last week, a three-judge panel ruled in favor of a law that would ban TikTok if the Chinese-owned app doesn't sell itself to an American buyer. The company filed an emergency injunction to pause the legislation from going into effect, saying small businesses and creators on the platform could suffer economic consequences if the app disappears.
ABC's Mike Dubusky. The USS Arkansas has been christened. It's the Navy's newest Virginia-class attack submarine. This past Saturday, Carlotta Walls Lanier, one of the nine black students who desegregated Little Rock Central High School in 1957, launched a bottle of sparkling wine into the hull of the Arkansas at Newport News Shipbuilding. The Arkansas is expected to launch next year. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We know what happened the last time Trump applied this ham-fisted tariff policy. He had to write a $12 billion check to farmers because he crushed so many of our agricultural exports and drove up the cost of single-family homes because the cost of lumber from places like Canada went way the frick up. Everything got more expensive.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Robot vacuums still frighten me, but you could win one as part of the grown-up gift list text-to-win contest. Shane Matinere is here. Where are you on robot vacuums?
Probably no. Yeah. My husband and I bought a Shark. If I could love a little appliance, I love my Shark vacuum.
When something actually sucks the way that you want it to, that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Well, look at the time here.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Adamas goes to the Giants. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball free agency underway over the weekend. Willie Adamas signed a 7-year deal with the San Francisco Giants worth $182 million, the largest contract in that team's history. Willie Adamas played 4 seasons with the Brewers, hitting 32 home runs, 21 stolen bases, and 112 RBI in his final season with the crew. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I love the kid. I mean, this kid's a gamer. He comes to play every day. Good player, and he's a leader, and he loves the big situation.
NBA, Bucks beat the Nets 118-113 in Brooklyn. Doc Rivers.
You could feel it. Like, they had that stretch where they were about to get away from us, and I thought Giannis kind of took the game over for us. And that's what makes him so great. He sensed that. He stayed aggressive. He made the right plays in the same stretch. That's the Giannis we need.
That's the Bucks head coach, Doc Rivers, with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Nominations for the Golden Globes were announced Monday, and Variety is reporting that in the film category, Emilia Perez leads the way with 10 nominations. The musical stars Zoe Saldana and Selena Gomez and is being called a drug cartel musical. Intrigued? I am. The film is available on Netflix. Not too far behind with 7 nominations, including Best Picture, is The Brutalist, a brutally long 3.5-hour drama set in post-war Europe starring Adrian Brody, Felicity Jones, and Guy Pearce, all three of whom are nominated for their acting chops. Focus Features Conclave pulled in 6 nominations, including for Best Picture and Best Screenplay, as well as acting nominations for cast members Ralph Fiennes and Isabella Rossellini. The Bear continues to dominate award shows on the little screen with 5 nominations. Only Murders in the Building and Shogun received 4 nominations each. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy and colder tonight, breezy with lows in the upper teens. A mix of sun and clouds and highs in the mid-20s for tomorrow. Some flurries and snow showers Tuesday night into early Wednesday, then becoming breezy with falling temps to the single digits. It's 25 right now.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, we will go overtime with Maggie Dawn. Plus, guess which Republican candidate who claims to have never lost an election is a leading contender to become Trump's ambassador to Mexico. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Alrighty.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I got them all free.
Cool. Yep. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wanted to give you the state of play, as I understand it, with some breaking news overlay about what is going on in Syria. So let us start there. Last night, and I think over the last like day and a half, the U.S. has launched 75 targeted strikes against ISIS in Syria. Really important, because one of the things that we've got to look out for, as happens when you have regime change, is there's destabilization. In Syria right now, there are roughly 3 different military forces that hold land. There is the rebel force, the Syrian Defense Force. The rebel force, referred to as HTS, as led by Jelani. You've got the Syrian Defense Force, and then you have the National Army, as supported by Turkey. Again, they're trying to coalition build. So the U.S. strikes on those ISIS targets in Syria were really important. If anybody thinks that Joe Biden isn't, you know, still doing foreign policy, yeah, he is. Keep an eye on our Kurdish allies. I think the Kurdish allies, the ISIS threat as a new Syrian government tries to stand itself up. And keep an eye on how these different military groups control and really keep an eye on the chemical weapons there. We know Bashar al-Assad used chemical weapons, despite what Tulsi Gabbard might have said, used chemical weapons on his own people. The rebel force, the HTS, today putting out statements saying they have secured or are in the process of securing chemical weapons. The chemical weapons will not be deployed, that their aim is that they are never deployed against people in Syria or property. That is great to hear, but watch the space about chemical weapons, watch the ISIS space, and watch the space about our Kurdish allies. It is the end of one of the most horrifying regimes, long vice grip hold on Syria nearly 50 years, which started with Bashar al-Assad's father. He really tamped down following the Arab Spring. We do have U.S. troops in northeast Syria, just by way of information, to keep that on your radar. And again, all of this likely possible for two reasons. Iran is weakened and Russia is weakened. Bashar al-Assad able to keep control in Syria because of Russian support. Obviously, Russia has needed some North Korean troops to help shore up its fronts in Ukraine. So Russia, again, itself in a weakened state. It was this perfect storm of events, if you're Bashar al-Assad, that led to a 10-day push by the rebels in Syria that eventually led them to Damascus. Again, watch this space. The things I am looking at and will continue to keep an eye on myself are what will happen with our Kurdish allies, especially east of the Euphrates in Syria. ISIS power. I think ISIS has been so decimated. I'm not particularly worried about that. But even small geographic areas of control from ISIS would be concerning in Syria. And then last but not least, those chemical weapons. Here's what's really interesting about this moment, just to put some additional gloss on it. The Syrian rebel groups at different times had been affiliated with Al-Qaeda. And in fact, ISIS. So now they've effectively disavowed those connections, moved to moderate. And that's where we find ourselves today. And here's the other wrinkle when we talk about ISIS as being one of those three main areas of concern that I noted. There are lots of really bad ISIS dudes currently in Syrian prisons. So, you know, what are the rebel forces going to do there? I don't think the rebel forces, and certainly not the United States, want to see them released. So, again, continue to watch this space. It is going to be, I think, a challenging time for Syria, but certainly I think we join in celebrating with Syrians the fall of what was a regime with historic levels of human rights abuses, as well as a destabilizing force in the Mideast. I'll just make this note. Again, the Tulsi Gabbard problem question is real weird. Like, she had gone to Syria and had met with Bashar al-Assad. It was kind of cozy, and it's always been a little like pro-Russia-ish over there. So, ew. She's going to be the director of national intelligence, coordinating all the activities and intelligence coming out of our nation's like 18 plus intelligence gathering operations with little to no, I'm going to call it zero actual qualifications for that. Ugh. Concerning. Very concerning. But I promised you all that we would get to the Donald Trump interview on NBC yesterday morning on the Sunday talk shows. This was his first network interview since he won election. So this was a big deal. And it was a pretty wide-ranging interview. I'm going to talk about it with Dom also at the bottom of the hour. So basically the rest of the day we're going to spend on that because there's a lot to get to here. One of the things that I want to point out, and Cardi, this is going to be, let's take a look here. This is going to be cuts 24 and 34. Give me a thumbs up when you're ready to go. This is, the interviewer here is a female woman of color. I would call this a light fact check interview, just light. She lets Donald Trump answer questions at length. He does his signature sort of blather on and on and on. There's some light fact-checking. It happens maybe a handful of time in what is an hour and 15-minute long interview. And yet, Donald Trump, not once, but twice, insulted the hell out of the interviewer, which I think is really interesting. So I actually wanted to start there because it is, just to remind us all, that's really weird. Like, you just won the presidency of the United States. I don't care what party you belong to. You're going to get some tough questions about, hey, what are the plans here? That is part of what you sign up for. It doesn't make a reporter biased. It doesn't make them mean. They're doing their job. And when you say obviously and evidently untrue things, I think we would all want a reporter to challenge that. Right? To me, that's the important part. So just contextually, I found these two moments incredibly fascinating. So why don't we start with cut number 24. Listen to him insult this woman because he doesn't like being asked tough questions.
This about it's January amazing. 6th.
I wish you could be you have such potential. If you could be just non-biased, you hurt yourself so badly. I'm telling you, they deleted and destroyed.
And let's take cut 34 right away.
On the press, I should have gotten no votes, none. And yet I got the highest number ever. And the reason is because I'm able to go on a show, even like yours, even though you're very hostile, I'm able to go on a show like yours. No, you are.
Well, hopefully you thought it was a fair interview. We covered a lot of policy ground.
It's fair only in that you allowed me to say what I say. But, you know, the answers, the questions are, you know, pretty nasty. But look, because...
What? And the first cut is really like the mind blower to me because he's basically like, let me give you a little tip here, toots. He might as well have said that. Like, you know, you're good looking enough. You seem nice enough. But what you need to do is ease up a little bit there, little lady. Like, I don't appreciate the toot on you. Might as well called her a nasty woman. Oh, wait. Yeah, he did that just later in the interview. You're pretty nasty. It's not nastiness to ask the president of the United States specifics about what his policy plans are, how he's going to fulfill the promises that he made during the campaign. We're going to talk about some of those promises and things this afternoon, because the other thing that I was absolutely stunned by, you actually think it's a good interview tactic to call your interviewer names like in the interview? It's just bad form, dude. But the other thing that I was pretty shocked by was most of these questions were, not most, every single one of them was utterly and completely predictable. And yet, on a couple of crucially important topics that he made promises about during the campaign, he had absolutely nothing to offer. Nothing. Not a scintilla of information, not a deadline, not a bit of policy detail. We're going to talk about a few of those things when we come back, just on the other side of this very brief set of messages. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked and join us, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Earl
Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the national DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that, to me, is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge. There's sweets, there's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true, because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Happy Monday, everybody. Lots of breaking news. Some of that breaking news is that the Madison Teachers Union has demanded to reopen negotiations with the city of Madison. This in the wake of that Act 10 ruling where a Dane County judge declared the whole kit and caboodle to be unconstitutional. Watch that space. That's going to be absolutely fascinating. Another bit of breaking news that I saw come across the line while we got on air here, which Rupert Murdoch has failed in his bid to alter a family trust whereby he would have been able to consolidate his empire under his son Lachlan and lock in Fox News's right-wing slant. Isn't that fascinating? Isn't that fascinating? Probably want to get that trust set up right the first time. We've got Dom Salvia joining me at the bottom of the hour. He and I are going to dig back into the Trump interview. But right now we're going to start with cut three, and I'm going to move through a number of things pretty quickly. And what I want you to be listening for is the actual what's in the house. Okay. Now, this one is the gimme quote from the entire interview, I think. Because remember what Donald Trump said the entire time through the campaign? It was all about Biden inflation and Biden inflation and Biden inflation. Border, border, Biden inflation, Biden inflation. Border, border. No, I won't sign a national abortion ban. Like, those are the three themes. So you would think whatever he's going to say about tariffs and all that kind of stuff, the main theme would be, of course, inflation's not going to go up because I got this all on lock. But let's take a listen, Cardi. This is cut number three.
Signature promises on the campaign trail, which was to end inflation, to lower prices. You are now proposing tariffs against the United States' three biggest trading partners. Economists of all stripes say that ultimately consumers pay the price of tariffs.
I don't believe
it. Can you guarantee American families won't pay more?
I can't guarantee anything. I can't guarantee tomorrow.
Oops. Oops. And then you would hope that if your entire thing was Biden inflation, Biden inflation, Biden inflation, border, no abortion ban that's national. Remember three themes. Biden inflation, Biden inflation, Biden inflation, border, no national abortion ban. That on the inflation piece, if you, quote, can't guarantee anything, that you might actually be possessed of the facts surrounding inflation under your predecessor, since this was the reason you were telling everybody to vote for you. But let's take a listen here. This is cut four, Cardi.
China, we took in hundreds of billions of dollars, and we had no inflation. In fact, when I handed it over, they didn't have inflation for a year and a half. They went almost 2 years.
What is he even talking? Like, no. And like, wait a minute. If there was no inflation for 2 years, what the hell were you running on? Biden inflation. 2 years. No, inflation hit its peak in June of 2021. Joe Biden took office, inheriting Donald Trump's failing economy in January 2021. And by June, we hit the highest peak of inflation. It's been going down since then. Doesn't even know about it. So remember, Biden inflation. Well, I can't guarantee anything, and I have no idea what the inflation rate was during my predecessor's term. That, why didn't he say that during the campaign? Oh, how about this one? You know, because tariffs, everybody says they're going to get passed along to the customer. This is going to be cut number 17, Cardi. Cut number 17. He just says, no, they won't. Well, what if they do? Then what?
Destroying the deep state. Do you want Cash Patel to launch investigations into people on that list?
Oh, I'm sorry. I gave you the wrong cut, Cardi. This is cut seven, not 17. I can't even read my own writing.
We'll
get there. Cut seven. My bad. Again, what if tariff costs do get passed along to customers?
Pay more. Will you punish CEOs who try to pass the cost of tariffs onto their customers?
Well, the market's going to take care of it. I mean, actually, the market takes care of it. And if it doesn't, we adjust it somewhat.
The market takes care of it. You mean customers pay more. So I'm just, these three cuts, right, tell you that everything that Donald Trump said about inflation is absolute garbage. Bad inflation. Can't guarantee it's going to be lower. Doesn't know what the inflation rate was during the Biden administration. And quote, the market will solve it or will, what was that? Adjust it somewhat. It's just nonsense. So we had that, the border. I'll talk about that in a minute because he lied about that a whole bunch. And then we're going to cut 16 here. Remember the, like, no abortion ban. It's all fine. Don't worry about it. No abortion ban. He gets asked about IVF. Let's just listen to this nonsense.
Looking for it. And I got a call from Katie Britt, who's a terrific person, senator from Alabama. And she said, sir, we just had a really negative ruling from a judge in Alabama, conservative judge, that
banning
all of these
IVF
clinics had to be closed. And she said, and she went into great detail, and she said people are devastated over it. And after literally speaking to her for 5 minutes, I issued an order, in a sense. And
in a sense?
It was a statement from the Republican Party that we are all for IVF and fertilization. Okay. The Alabama legislature met the following day and passed it. It was a beautiful thing to see. And I consider myself to be the father of IVF in a certain way. And the Republicans were very strong on the issue.
But, sir, I want to understand where it falls in your list of priorities. I mean, is this something we can expect to see you try to move on in the first 100 days?
We're going to be talking about it, and we're going to be seeing. We have a lot of other things. I have tax cuts. You know, we'll be.
I just want you to absorb all of that. Because of Donald Trump's Supreme Court, abortion rights were overturned. Because abortion rights were overturned, Alabama judges declared IVF to be unlawful. By the way, other states have been doing so. And he's like, don't worry about it, because tax cuts. That was his response. Don't worry about it, because tax cuts. So to summarize, Biden inflation. Bunch of garbage. No national abortion ban. Bunch of garbage. We'll talk about the border next with my little buddy and more of Donald Trump's lies on NBC yesterday, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Luigi Mangione is in custody in Altoona, Pennsylvania. He's suspected of being the gunman who shot and killed United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson in New York City last week. Lieutenant Colonel George Bivens of the Pennsylvania State Police says he was busted inside a McDonald's.
Customer recognized, notified an employee, and wanted someone to check it out further.
Altoona officer Tyler Fry was one of the police who confronted Mangione and asked him to pull down his mask.
My partner and I recognized him immediately, just from what we saw in the media with photos, videos.
Late word, New York prosecutors have filed a murder charge against Mangione. A jury in New York City acquitted Marine veteran Daniel Penny in the chokehold killing of Subway performer Jordan Neely. Neely's family plans to sue Penny. About 87,000 people were being evacuated in the central Philippines after a brief but major eruption of the Mount Canlaon volcano. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Adames goes to the Giants. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball free agency underway over the weekend. Willie Adames signed a 7-year deal with the San Francisco Giants worth $182 million, the largest contract in that team's history. Willie Adames played 4 seasons with the Brewers, hitting 32 home runs, 21 stolen bases, and 112 RBI in his final season with the crew. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I love the kid. I mean, this kid's a gamer. He comes to play every day. Good player, and he's a leader, and he loves the big situation.
NBA, Bucks beat the Nets 118-113 in Brooklyn. Doc Rivers.
You could feel it. Like, they had that stretch where they were about to get away from us, and I thought Giannis kind of took the game over for us. And that's what makes him so great. He sensed that. He stayed aggressive. He made the right plays in the same stretch. That's the Giannis we need.
That's the Bucks head coach, Doc Rivers, with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If you're a moviegoer who likes Thanksgiving leftovers, you probably found something to enjoy at the movies this past weekend. Only one new release was able to crack the top 5, and only 3 flicks cracked the top 10. In first place, to no one's surprise, was Moana 2, which pulled in another $52 million in its second weekend in theaters. Coming in second place was Wicked, with a $34 million haul and $320 million take worldwide. And in third place is Gladiator 2, with $12.5 million. Indian action mystery thriller Pushpa 2, The Rule, brought in almost $10 million on just 1,200 screens to grab fourth place. Red One took fifth place. A24's latest, Y2K, pulled in a disappointing $2 million in its first weekend release, good for eighth place. A re-release of Christopher Nolan's Interstellar took sixth place with $4.5 million on only 165 screens nationwide. There should be some big box office activity this coming week with the release of a new Lord of the Rings film. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. There will be plenty of clouds for us here the overnight with a breezy west to northwest wind up around 25 miles per hour, and lows will settle back to near 20 degrees. On Tuesday, a mix of clouds and sunshine, highs in the mid-20s, snow chances for Tuesday night. It's 24 at our studios.
Welcome to Staples.
Help! My family's in for the holidays and I need gift ideas.
That's why we're here. Staples has amazing deals on everything you need. Photo gifts, laptops, and gaming systems. Even custom holiday cards and shipping solutions to send gifts to the family that can't make it.
Perfect! Have anything for Uncle Frank? I love him, but the guy is never quiet.
Noise-canceling headphones. For you.
You get it.
Unwrap huge holiday savings at Staples. And right now at Staples, save up to $350 on select computers. Ends 12/28, in-store only.
The holidays are here, and it's nearly time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with our Civic Media statewide text-to-win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in our statewide contest. Earl Ingram.
On the next show, Sandy Williams will be back in the studio to discuss the latest in politics and what's happening with the economy. Join us.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Thank you.
What's up, everybody? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Monday. It is 3:30, and that means it's time for In Case You Missed It with Dom Salvia. And in case you missed it, I listened to the entire Trump interview like twice.
Yeah. Sorry. Thank you for doing that, yes. Maggie.
Someone has to do your homework for you, Dom. So, but bigger thanks should be to Cardi, who cut 34 different cuts.
Wow, Cardi, that's hard work, man.
I've been summarizing this as here was Donald Trump's campaign for president. Bad inflation, bad inflation, bad inflation. No national abortion ban. Border, border, border. And then, like, punish my political enemies. It's not really Project. I'm just going to put that stuff and call it democracy.
Yes, okay.
Like, I won't be crazy. Democracy, right? So when it comes to bad inflation, turns out, no guarantees here. That's what he said yesterday on NBC.
I can't guarantee anything.
Can't
Maggie.
Guarantee anything. Can't guarantee tomorrow. Has no idea what the inflation rate actually was during Joe Biden's administration, which makes clear that it wasn't ever really about that anyways.
It was just too high, Maggie.
It's just what bad inflation. And then lastly, if those pesky tariffs actually end up costing people more money, he was asked, would you punish CEOs for passing along those costs? And that's not going to happen. I don't believe that happens. But if it does, then the market will fix it. And if the market doesn't, we'll, quote, adjust it somewhat. I assume he means the tariffs.
Maybe.
But yeah, by the market fixing it, Donald, that's the companies passing the costs on to consumers.
The market will absorb the change, which will either involve increased cost to the consumer or less demand to the producer.
Correct. Right?
I mean, there you go. A combination price, thereof.
Yes, because as prices increase, demand goes down.
I mean, doesn't the market always take care of everything all the time,
yes,
for Republicans? I mean,
just ask a Republican. Right. So we took care of that whole platform.
All right, good. Excellent.
Blah, 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 blah. Bad inflation. Turns out he knows nothing about it, doesn't really care to know anything about it, and just spews nonsense. If it appeals to people who won't Google anything. The next one was like, no abortion ban. He got asked very clearly because this all came to a head about IVF. He prattled on for minutes and minutes. I cut it down to its essence. And when pressed to answer the question about how are you going to enshrine IVF rights and how are you going to do this and where is it on your priority list, he's like, oh, but the tax cuts. That legit was the answer to that question.
So avoid the question entirely.
Yeah, so didn't answer the question about how he's going to make sure that families can control when and how they get pregnant.
I thought he was the father of IVF.
He did say that and then went on to be like, tax cuts.
Tax cuts.
I'm confused along with everyone else. So yeah, bad inflation. That was garbage. No national abortion ban. Well, your Supreme Court overruled the right to abortion, which led to IVF being declared illegal in not one but two states and the erosion of reproductive care and fertility care. But your answer to that is tax cuts. So that was all garbage, which brings us to border, border, border. And then we'll talk about the democracy problem. I just want to start with the border problem.
Yes.
Let's just start with cut 10, Cardi. Cut 10, because this is his answer. And when you put this on the back of the tariffs and no guarantees, he gets asked the baseline question. Here it is.
Talk about mass deportation, one okay. of your big agenda items. You've talked about prioritizing people who have criminal histories.
Correct.
But is it your plan to deport everyone who is here illegally over the next 4 years?
Well, I think you have to do it. And it's a very tough thing to do.
You have to do it. So, Dom, what's that going to do to the price of food?
Oh, it's going to be great. Don't worry about it.
It's going to be great. Yeah, the market will adjust it.
Exactly. We've talked about this here in the state of Wisconsin. A big chunk of migrant labor are probably, quote unquote, illegal, right? But how do you do this? We talked to the farmer Hans not so long ago. People fill out their I-9 forms. They may or may not be accurate, but they're accurate enough to, you know, get paid, right? So how are you going to, if you're going to deputize, you know, the sheriffs, you're going to deputize the Proud Boys, how are you going to go onto Hans's farm and determine whether or not these folks are there here, quote unquote, legally or illegal? I mean, literally, what is that process? What does that look like? Show me your papers.
He has no idea.
No idea.
No idea. We're going to take cut five. This is back on the tariffs because this all is of a piece, right? Like the idea that you're going to basically deport America's cheap labor workforce and all of them, however many billions or trillions that's going to cost. You make no guarantees on inflation. You have no plan for protecting IVF. And you keep talking about tariffs, and your understanding of tariffs is this. Cut five.
Sir, your previous tariffs during your first administration cost Americans some $80 billion, and now you have major companies from Walmart, Black & Decker, AutoZone, saying that any tariffs are going to force them to drive up prices for their consumers. How do you make sure that these CEOs, that these companies don't, in fact, pass on the cost of tariffs to their consumers?
They cost Americans nothing. They made a great...
That's untrue. It's just not, you have no freaking idea. And then again, when it comes to the CEOs and how are you going to enforce it? Remember, the answers were the market. And if the market doesn't right. fix it, we'll adjust it. I wonder how many American families are going to go hungry as he figures out how the market works.
Well, I mean, Americans won't pay for it if Americans don't buy the product.
There's right? that.
That's the only way that Americans do not pay for it. And what does that do? Well, of course, it drives down demand. And what is that going to do for the GDP and for growth? It's going to suppress it.
Those are the screeching brakes bringing our economy to a halt. Let's take cut 11 because I heard this number so many times, I just need to address it. Let's take cut 11, Cardi.
At 11,000 and 13,000 different estimates, 13,099 murderers released into our country over the last 3 years. They're walking down the streets. They're walking next to you and your family, and they're very dangerous.
The 13,000 figure, I think, goes back about 40 years.
No, it doesn't. No, nope. It's within the...
Yes, it does. And I just want to make this really clear. Dear Donald... We have additional law enforcement agencies other than Border Patrol. And so when someone has committed a crime or is accused of committing crime, Border Patrol is not responsible for incarceration and prosecution. Get it, Donald? So even though many people were, quote, released from Border Patrol's custody, they actually went from Border Patrol into other federal agency custody. And yes, the number goes back 40 freaking years.
Yes, it does. What was your thought on Welker's response to that and just the general sense of the interview?
She was about as nice as you could possibly be. The fact checks were light, numbered less than 10 by my count. I actually tried to count them. And yet I began my discussion of this interview with the one, not just one, the two times that he basically called her biased and nasty. Yeah. He insulted her instead of answering the gosh darn questions. Let's talk about birthright citizenship. In case anybody actually was wondering about what he was going to do, Cardi, this is cut 14. Cut 14, if you would, please.
Let me ask you about some of your other promises on this topic. You promised to end birthright citizenship on day one. Is that still your plan?
Yeah, absolutely.
The 14th Amendment, though, says that, quote, all persons born in the United States are citizens. Can you get around the 14th Amendment with an executive action?
We're going to have to get a change. We maybe have to go back to the people, but we have to end it. We're the only country that has it.
No. Just again, you know nothing about any of this. It's just the sheer level of ignorance is shocking. About 36 countries provide automatic citizenship to people born on their soil, including our neighbors Canada and Mexico and the majority of South American countries. I could go on. You know nothing about whence you speak, sir.
But if you say it with conviction, Does it make it true? Because it seemingly sells to those who are listening to
him.
Well,
this is my whole point. It's just, why don't, maybe Democrats should just repeat like 3-4 things over and over. Biden inflation, no national abortion ban, border. It has no meaning. Words have facts. No meaning. Facts are irrelevant. Speaking of facts, this is a doozy. We're going to go to cut 28. He's being asked about his appointment of RFK Jr. Listen to these non-facts.
Going back 25 years, studies show that there is no link between vaccines and autism. And yet it sounds like you are open to the possibility of him looking
I'm
at
open to
getting
anything.
Rid of them.
I think somebody has to find out. If you go back 25 years ago, you had very little autism. Now you have it. I mean,
well, they say because they're better at identifying it.
1 in 100,000, and now it's 1 in 100. That's
non-responsive.
That's a pretty bad number.
Childhood vaccines.
I mean, something is going on. I don't know if it's vaccines. Maybe it's chlorine in the water, right? You know.
I'm sorry. Did that just happen? It's chlorine, not chlorine. It's fluoride. Chlorine. You moron.
It's the chlorine in the pools.
Wow. As long as we're here, let's take cut 29. She again tries to fact check him.
And scientists say that's because they've gotten better at identifying it, and there's no link in
studies.
But
the drug companies are going to be working with RFK Jr., and he's been an interesting guy to me. I've watched him for 25 years.
That qualifies him.
And he's been an interesting guy.
He's very interesting. That qualifies him to handle this.
This is insane. It is not okay. This is that's bananas. It's untrue. It is not how U.S. federal health policy should be decided. But here's the real doozy. And Cardi, we're going to go from this to cuts X, Y, and Z. I might need to save the cuts for on the other side. But let's just take cut 30 right here. He's being asked about Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Let's take a listen.
The election coming up, but you've tapped Elon Musk, Vivek Ramaswamy, to head up this Department of Government Efficiency.
Correct.
Which proposes cuts to the federal government. Yeah. I think a lot of people hear that and they get concerned about Medicare and Social Security and
not
Medicaid.
Not going to have anything to do.
And defense spending.
We're talking
you
about
won't touch theft, Medicare, Social Security.
Abuse. Okay. No, I said to be, we're not touching Social Security, other than we might make it more efficient, but the people are going to get what they're getting.
Okay, so the entitlements
and
off
we're not
the table.
Raising, and we're not raising ages or any of that stuff.
Okay, no, off the table.
I won't do it.
Okay.
Off the table, but here's cut X. This is Ron Johnson saying just the opposite, just not too long ago.
Yes, and you know, defense spending has always been discretionary. So VA spending is discretionary. What's mandatory are things like Social Security and Medicare. If you qualify for the entitlement, you just get it no matter what the cost. And our problem in this country is that more than 70% of our federal budget, of our federal spending, is all mandatory spending. It's on automatic pilot. It never, you just don't do proper oversight. You don't get in there and fix the programs going bankrupt. It's just on automatic pilot. What we ought to be doing is we ought to turn everything into discretionary spending. So let's all evaluate it so that we can fix problems or fix programs that are broken that are going to be going bankrupt. But no. Because, again, as long as things are on automatic pilot, we just continue to pile up debt. It's mortgage our kids' future. It's this massive debt burden.
Yeah. So zero out Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. And then let's listen to Richard McCormick cut Z just last week.
The problem with the Democrats is they've never run out of things that they can give away for free, quote unquote. When you talk about $1 trillion in debt payment just on interest alone every year, we can't just talk about the military, though. And the military can do some things better. We can save some money just in the way of contract. We can be careful that we don't decrease our abilities because China is right on our heels. However, if you talk about 75% of the budget, 75% is non-discretionary. We're going to have some hard decisions. We got to bring the Democrats in and talk about Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare. There's hundreds of
there it is,
dollars
y'all. From Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson and GOP Representative Richard McCormick saying Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, yeah, they're on the table, even though DJT just said they weren't. We're going to come back with more with Dom Salvia. For in case you missed it, you don't need to listen to Donald Trump's interview. I got you covered. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. Last segment is next.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy. We're talking about the Act 10 overturned by a Dane County judge.
I think it's important for everyone to know that this was the state that in 1959 first granted public employees the right to organize and bargain collectively. We have a lot to take back. You know, I used to say take back America, but I say take back Wisconsin.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Pat Kreitlow, all your time in the media, television, radio, what have you, what was one or two of the oddest things that people were complaining about?
As a TV anchor, your hair.
You have some of the finest hair around. How could anybody criticize your hair?
Oh, well, because a consultant forced me to change it.
Were there focus groups?
I'm not aware of any focus groups other than the audience, which universally hated it. It was a bowl haircut.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back, everybody. Dom Salvia's up next. He's got that great show that follows mine every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6. He's with me for Monday's installment of In Case You Missed It right here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Thanks for sticking around, Dom.
Hey, Maggie, my pleasure. I did miss it. I try not to watch too much of Trump over the weekend.
John from West Dallas also weighing in saying, thank you for watching it so that I don't have to. You are welcome, John. You are very, very welcome. You remember, so we have now dispensed with all of his nonsense on border, border, border. Bad inflation. And what was the other one? Oh, yeah. No national abortion ban and I'll protect IVF, except all of this total garbage and lies and the protecting Social Security, Medicare and Medicaid. Why was that important? Because this is what Project 2025 proposes, dismantling brick by brick by brick, dollar by dollar. We know that Donald Trump saying he's going to protect that is a bunch of hooey. Because everybody else in his party is saying it's right back on the table, including Wisconsin's own Ron Johnson. But this is what Donald Trump had to say about Project 2025, which blew my mind. It is cut 21. Remember when he's like, I have nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do with it. Cut 21. Let's take a listen.
Talk about Project 2025. This is the conservative policy blueprint. You disavowed it during the campaign. You called it a product of the radical right. You've said some of their ideas were radical.
I said some of it is. Some of it is very good. Some of it's very mainstream, actually. Frankly, the Democrats should have used some of it because they went, you know, with all the transgender that they were doing and with the men playing in women's sports. Well, if they wouldn't have done that, maybe they would have done better.
It's mainstream now. It was radical and abysmal before. It's mainstream now. And transgender. I mean... Are you catching a theme? He just blurts words out as if that's an argument about something. But I want to get to his discussion of Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger because their responses have been incredibly important. Let's listen to Cut 23.
That's the end of Kamala. I really did. I thought it was a terrible move, especially if you're a Democrat. But Cheney did something that's inexcusable, along with Thompson and the people on the Unselect Committee of political thugs and, you know, creeps. So the Unselect Committee went through a year and a half of testimony. Wait. They deleted and destroyed all evidence of that they found. You know why? Because Nancy Pelosi was guilty. Nancy Pelosi turned down 10,000 troops. You wouldn't have had a J6 because other people were guilty. The people that said that I attacked two Secret Service agents in a car.
We can wrap this clip. It goes on and on. So he name checks Pelosi. He name checks Cheney. He claims that the J6 committee destroyed evidence. By the way, that's illegal. Just want to tell you that. In fact, the committee did not destroy all evidence. It released an 800-page report as well as 140 transcripts of testimony and various memos, emails, and voicemail messages. The evidence remains online. You can go get it. And by the way, all that evidence is also in possession of the FBI, which apparently Cash Patel is now going to control. Also, breaking news, Republican Senator Joni Ernst says she will support the appointment of Pete Hegseth to be Secretary of Defense. Shame on you, Joni. Shame on you. So he called the J6 committee thugs. And
creeps.
And creeps. This entire interview, basically what he says, because he's asked in 18 different ways, and I'm not going to play the sound, will you direct the FBI or the National Security Apparatus or the DOJ to go after your political enemies? And he says no, but if there was misdeeds, if people were doing bad things, they should be looked into. Well, when you call the January 6th committee thugs, like, of course that's what you mean. And Pam Bondi and Cash Patel and Pete Hegseth and all the rest of them know that, do they not, Dom? So what did you make of Adam Kinzinger's response as well as Liz Cheney's, which I thought were great?
I absolutely love it. Here's what Kinzinger said. If Donald wants to pursue this vindictive fantasy, I say bring it on. I'm not intimidated by a man whose actions on January 6th showed a cowardly disregard for democracy and the rule of law. A man too frightened to serve in the military requires a strong man like Putin to feel secure. While his supporters were attacking the Capitol, Trump sat in the White House watching in glee as law enforcement and elected officials scrambled to protect our public. Bring it on.
Bring it on. Liz Cheney wrote an extensive response. Donald Trump knows his claims about the Select Committee are ridiculous and false. There's no conceivably appropriate factual constitutional basis for what Donald Trump is suggesting, a Justice Department investigation of the work of a congressional committee. Here's the summary. That entire interview was just BS at the highest levels. No mastery of facts, no understanding of policy, no respect for democracies or democratic principles, or our gosh damn Constitution. That is our new president. Jack from Merrimack, you've been so patient, you're going to get the last word of the day, Jack.
Thank you, Maggie. Just wanted to say, people should have known what they were getting with Trump. From 30,000 lies in 4 years, to the chaos of his last administration, to the fact many of the over a million pandemic deaths could have been prevented if the response had been appropriate, but it wasn't. We've heard nothing but 4+ years of lies from Trump and the MAGAs, and those lies have been repeated with a little rebuttal from the media, both the Foxes and the legitimate media. And I'd like to remind folks who don't understand how independent voters could vote for him of a quote from Hannah Arendt, the German-American historian who studied the Nazis extensively. This constant lying is not aimed at making people believe the lie, but to ensure no one believes anything anymore.
But to ensure no one believes anything anymore, there are such things as objective facts, y'all. And we try to bring them to you here on Civic Media. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together for facts, our democracy, and the Constitution. Dom Salvia's next, y'all. Keep it locked.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jazz Gallery for the Arts in Milwaukee is having a fundraiser. We'll find out how you can help out, and we'll wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Aaron Zommers, so you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge. What's your kink?
Snowman. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Federal authorities unsealed an indictment in Texas announcing arrests in a deadly semi-tractor-trailer rig crash 3 years ago.
The U.S., along with Guatemalan authorities, announced the arrest of six people in Guatemala and Texas Monday. The six charged in connection with the semi-trailer truck crash in Mexico in 2021 that killed more than 50 migrants. Authorities say more than 160 migrants were on board that truck when it crashed in the capital of Chiapas. They are charged with conspiring to smuggle humans for profit. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
The Manhattan District Attorney has charged Luigi Mangione with murder in last week's killing of the United Healthcare chief exec. Mangione busted Monday in Altoona, Pennsylvania, after a customer in a McDonald's recognized him. A jury in New York City acquitted Marine veteran Daniel Petty of the chokehold killing of Subway performer Jordan Neely. Neely's family plans to sue Petty. This is ABC News.